It's that time of the day. It's the 4th Street Sports Show. Let's get it.
Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show. It is your interim host and producer, Charlie Luttrell, joined here by our usuals and some, I guess we can call them returning hosts because they were here last week, JonBenet.
Well, JonBenet didn't speak.
Yeah, JonBenet's just here. She's just viewing it.
She's just like a ghost. Yeah, she's void of the room.
She's the statistician or something. And then we got T learning the ropes here, and we're joined by Isaiah in the back too. These are going to be your new faces at 4th Street next year if they want to. But anyways, Dima, Nathan also in the studio, all coming off of an Easter break, hopefully a little refresh, trying to finish this semester. All of our students kind of that are listening probably share the pain with us, so yes. We're trying to just get it done. But as always, Southern Miss sports in action, a lot to talk about. And even though Easter was happening, there was some Southern Miss baseball going on, a huge series, and the results of that series were really good for the Golden Eagles. Things seem to be trending upwards after kind of a rough start to the conference play. And, I mean, so far it's just been a contested conference overall. So what did you see from that series, Dean?
Yeah, I would say, first off, great day yesterday with the Masters. Congratulations to John Rahm.
Yes.
Just wanted to point that out. Great game. Mm. Great, great final round.
Our golf fan here.
Yes. But for anybody who knows, anybody who's listening to this, the Masters is amazing. So
it is incredible.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yes.
But let's talk about baseball. Southern Miss picked up a big series win on the road against Old Dominion this weekend to improve to 19-11 of the season. Old Dominion was obviously the top dog in the conference, road test, big RPI series for Southern Miss. They come out Saturday. I mean, it's actually on Thursday they came out. Mm-hmm. Tanner Hall pitched well, 7 strikeouts, I think, along with he gave up one run, and it was a 2-out home run right before he came out of the game. Southern Miss won that game 4-2, rained out on Friday, and then Saturday they played a doubleheader. Old Dominion jumped out to a lead. Matthew Adams went down with an injury in the second inning. So that's going to be something to really keep an eye on. So once Matthew Adams went down, Southern Miss was just basically just reeling in bullpen guys to go up against a really good lineup at Old Dominion. So they jumped out to a lead. I think it was 7-2 after 5 innings in the first game. Southern Miss rallied late. Dustin Dickerson actually came through with a base-clearing double with 2 outs in the bottom of the 8th inning to make it 8-7. And then actually Creek got on base. Creek Robertson got on base there in the 9th, but they couldn't hit him in. So lost that game, even the series, but Southern Miss responded in the final game, giving up, going early, like kind of like Old Dominion the game before, jumped out to an early lead. They were up 8-2, took advantage of some Old Dominion errors. Old Dominion started climbing back, and it looked like there was potential Southern Miss might drop that game. But Old Dominion made one key mistake in the bottom of the 8th inning, and that gave Southern Miss the series win there with an 11-8 victory. So that moves Southern Miss now 7-5 in the Sun Belt, 19-11 overall. I think they're 4th in conference right now. Yeah. So they're gonna head to Tuscaloosa tomorrow night to play Alabama. J.B. Middleton on the mound for the Golden Eagles. Alabama, no easy task. I think they're 4-8 in the SEC, but their RPI is up in the mid-20s, maybe even higher than that. Big test tomorrow in Tuscaloosa. But then you come home, you play a James Madison team this weekend who you think you can probably get a sweep there, which might be your really only sweep in the Sun Belt, because Sun Belt baseball right now is just really, really good.
It seems to be kind of the common theme all along the sports this year, just really increased competition.
Yeah.
And to think that Southern Miss right now is number 4 in the Sun Belt is kind of crazy. You've got two 9-3 teams left, and then Old Dominion's just one game ahead. So still, I mean, we're already, you know, approaching May, it feels like. So it's getting into that crunch time. So, you know, games like this are huge. But like you said, Southern Miss has built up that RPI 27. So yeah. Alabama could be a big game for them.
Yeah, but I think the good thing for them is if they drop it, thanks to the series win against Old Dominion, it's going to balance out. So I don't think they have to go tomorrow and they have to beat Alabama. I think you need to go 3-1 this week, though, if you do drop it. You don't need to go 2-2.
And it's been crazy because they've been so close to sweeping all those series.
Yeah, like they could have swept Old Dominion.
Yeah.
You know, they almost came back and won that game last week. They should have beaten Georgia Southern in both doubleheader games, you know. And then you think of that Troy series, definitely should have won that series. Like, it's like every single series you can say that they probably – I would say even the one series they lost, which was against Texas State, they should have won that series if not swept. So – it's like they're so close, but you know they're sitting there 19-11, 7-5. So I think they feel pretty good. I mean, that if it ended today, they'd be in the tournament. So as an at-large. So.
We'll move on to softball now, who is also in action over the weekend. Didn't have quite the same results. It's been kind of a rough skid for them so far.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of baseball. Baseball they're hitting a little bit of a turn on their season. Softball is just kind of can't really get out of this rut they're in. They dropped to under 500 for the first time this season, actually, after losing both games to Texas State. They did start the week out, though, with an 8-1 win against Nichols that snapped their 11-game losing streak. So they like to see that, you know, snapping a losing streak that big. But the Bobcats rallied in the first game of the doubleheader to win 4-3 and commanded the second game to a 4-2 victory. And now Southern Miss, you know, has yet to win a game in the Sun Belt. At 0-11, and will now travel to Monroe, Louisiana, for a series against ULM. The Warhawks are 4-8 in conference play.
Moving on to track and field, they won 3 events, had 11 visits to the podium at the Lloyd Wills Invitational this weekend, held at LSU. Senior Carlin Beal broke the meet record and set a PR in 3,000 meter, and Sarah Parnell finished first in the 3,000 meter steeple with a PR as well. I'll be real. I didn't know what the steeplechase was, and I watched some of those runs. That is crazy. And we got a track guy coming on today, so I just like learning more about track. But those girls this week killed it. Also, Zaisha Frazier finished first in the triple jump, and again on the men's side, Keyshawn Bird got gold in the triple jump as well. So Golden Eagles will continue their outdoor season at the Mount SAC Relays in Walnut, California, which start April 13th. And some other sports also in action this week. Beach volleyball, crazy schedule, faced 4 top 25 teams in an invitational this weekend. Lost all those matches, and women's tennis lost both of their matches, but men's tennis actually picked up a pretty big win at home against Louisiana on senior night. So, and also talking about the Masters, good time for golf. Men's golf are hitting the courses at the Grand Bear Golf Club Tuesday, as both men's and women's golf regular season is kind of wrapping up before they, you know, hit the Sun Belt Conference Championships, which will be interesting to watch because we've had some really seen some individual performances, good individual performances this year. So that's pretty much all we've got for this week in recap. We did want to say, I guess the other big news was that kind of shocked me, guard Austin Crowley will not, you know, be returning to Southern Miss this year. He is retaining his eligibility, but he's going for the draft, you know, potentially just trying to get to a pro level of play. And obviously his resume this year gives him some ground for that. So just want to say congratulations to him and what he was able to do in just 1 year at Southern Miss, along with the other guys that came and, you know, are gone now. Felipe Asse. And all those other guys.
I mean, you think about that. That's a pretty big loss. Because now, you know, you lose Pickney, you lose Felipe, you lose Austin, and so that's three of your five starters, and not even to mention your, you know, Mo is back, and then
I think Mormon.
Mormon. So, I mean, we got to replace a lot now. So.
It is, And not much news so far that we have on men's basketball. I know there's some change-ups happening over at women's basketball. I think only 2 official transfers so far, but there's probably more to come with that. And, you know, obviously this is the busiest year for the transfer portal in college basketball.
Yeah, and be looking on Twitter and stuff, football transfers fixing to open. True. I think it's April 17th.
Yep, that's exactly like that. It.
So anyways, we will go to break. Before we return, we'll continue talking about track with Southern Miss track star Omar Austin, who's going to talk about his first year here at Southern Miss and just the incredible season he's had so far. So we'll be back. This is 4th Street 88.5.
Looking for the place to be at Mondays at 5? Look no further than 4th Street Sports.
Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. Hope you're doing good today on this Monday afternoon. We're joined by a special guest here, Omar Austin from Southern Miss Track. Just to go through kind of accolades this season, he's made his way to the top of the NCAA leaderboards in the 400 meter PR of 45.89 at the Florida State Relays, which is, I think, number 5 in the NCAA right now. And Austin also runs the 260 meter and has run the 4x4 relay for Southern Miss. So, I mean, just reading your story, Omar, it's pretty incredible. First season here at Southern Miss. Just, could you talk about what it's been like coming to Southern Miss and, you know, how the season has gone so far?
Yeah, so coming here is a whole different environment. So, like I said, I'm being from North New Jersey. I come from up north. And then my last school was a D2 school. In like Maryville, Missouri, so like close to Kansas City, so everything is just a whole different environment. I never really been in the South. Like I said, the most South I've ever been was Florida, but it's a whole different environment than being here in Mississippi. So coming here and being around like everybody who's more like everybody friendly, everybody just open, the team welcomed me in, and then just being around people that just accepted me for who I am, and then like just basically motivating me to just keep going, help me like just keep working, and that basically helped me have a successful season by just keeping my head straight, not having no distractions, and just staying focused on the task.
True. Have you started talking redneck yet? Now that you're Mississippi?
Nah. Is it
having an influence?
I mean, nah, not really. I mean, not really.
You learned any slang yet, or like did that surprise you kind of hearing that?
It surprised me. I didn't really learn it because I didn't really pay too much attention to it. I mean, I hear it, but I was just like, I guess that's just how y'all talk. You know, I ain't gonna judge it, so I ain't really pay too much attention to it yet. I'll probably learn it soon, though.
Yeah, there you go.
You've hit the ground running. You PR'd in the 400, like we said, to open. It got one of the best times in the country a couple weeks ago at Florida State. Could you talk about just kind of what clicked at that event?
Yeah, so at the indoor season, indoor started off a little rocky at first. I talked to coach about the progress, and like I said, I've been off the track for 2 years, so just coming back indoor, it was like a start for me. It took me a little minute to get my feet back, you know, used to running and everything. So, you know, after the conference championships, we had 3 weeks of a break before our first meet, and then I just had time to just rest and just take care of my body and really just focus on everything I was doing wrong and just talk to coach about, you know, let's work harder. Like, I feel like I needed to push myself more than challenge myself. So within the 3 weeks to a month of just practicing with no meets, I just was able to push myself to, you know, my capacity and just get better. And then that's when the Florida State meet came. I told coach before the meet that I had expectations of just going fast. It's like I've seen it before it happened. It's more like I wanted it to happen. I envisioned it. I knew all the work I put in that month was going to pay off soon. So, you know, that meet came. It was good weather, you know, about 86 degrees, not too much wind, nice track, good environment. And at that point, you just got to do the best you can do.
What kind of goes into that? Just like the weather, does that play a big role in runs?
Yeah, so when you run in the weather, I mean, sometimes it can and sometimes it don't, but it depends. Like, if it's windy, it can affect you. If it's cold, sometimes you don't run your best when it's cold. I feel like when it's nice and warm and not too windy, normally the best times to drop. Sometimes some tracks is, you know, faster than other tracks. Like, this track may have a mono surface. This track may be hard, so you can't really, you know, bounce off the track like you would want to on another track. So it could be a lot of stuff that could play a factor. But, yeah, the wind, the weather can definitely play a factor. Like, you don't run your best when it's cold. You don't run your best when it's windy. You know, you prefer warm and just not too much wind. So
you run a lot of short distance runs. You know, for fans maybe not familiar with track, could you kind of talk about what goes into that? You know, how you try to prepare for runs like that?
Yeah, so, like, when it comes to, like, short distance, more like sprinting and things like that, you got to put your body through a lot. So, basically, you got to get your legs strong. So, with me, I used to, back in my old career when I was younger, my legs wasn't really strong, so I started off running 800s and everything. I started off with endurance because I didn't have the leg power to really run fast. So the fact that I was able to get stronger and get, like, more dominant in the weight room helped me get more quicker on the track. So you have to, like, basically hit the weight room. And just a lot of speed work in practice as well. When I'm training next to people every day and they pushing me, like, everybody in my practice, we like to be competitive, so we're going to try to challenge each other each rep. So, you know, when people pushing you to your full, you know, your best capacity at practice, that's going to help you get faster. And then, like I said, just challenging yourself in the weight room and getting stronger going to help you get faster.
So you were actually saying you just came from weights.
Yeah.
You know, we talked to Coach Brukowski, one of the training coaches here. Mm-hmm. Just what's your regimen been like here that's kind of helped you this season?
So one thing I like that we do in the weight room, we do a lot of power cleans. We do a lot of squats. So stuff like that's really attacking like each leg. We do a lot of single leg stuff as well, like lunges and things like that. We do a lot of core, like a lot of core. And that's main, that's a big factor in track. Like if you don't have a strong core, you won't be able to run as fast as you want because your core is basically like the main focus of your body when you're running. It controls everything. So, you know, doing a lot of core, a lot of single leg stuff, working on strength in each leg, power cleans, working on power. We do a lot of pull-ups. So stuff working on, basically working on all muscles of the body, not just working on just the legs. You know, with track, you got to also work the upper body as well to be able to push. So that's been helping.
You got to be happy with your results so far, but, yeah. You know, plenty of season left. You know, how are you kind of approaching these next few weeks?
Yeah, so, like, the times I ran at FSU, that was actually my first 400 outdoors. So, you know, that was just basically a season opener for me. And I know the goals I have left, you know, we have two to three more meets left before conference. Conference obviously is going to be a big meet for me. Regionals after that, and then nationals. So I'm more focused on nationals and regionals. Conference I focus on as well, but I'm more like, I like to go for the big goal. You know, nationals is really the biggest thing for me. Conference is cool, but I already won conference indoors. You know, I'd rather focus on being the first national champ on the men's side ever at Southern Miss. I told Coach I was going to come make history, and this the year to do it. So I'm just focusing on, you know, I got a lot of left to do, so I'm just training hard in practice. I got a whole month and a half to just be ready when it matters. So that's all I'm doing, focusing.
Just looking at the rankings, you know, the difference in the rankings is literally milliseconds.
Yeah.
So, you know, in training or, you know, practice, what could you kind of describe what are the ways you approach trying to just shave just a couple milliseconds away to try to keep beating your record?
Yeah, so in track, milliseconds, is it may look like a short distance, but it's really actually a lot. Like, milliseconds can be more than what you think. So looking at the time, I'm about 0.4, like 4 tenths away from first place right now, which is like motivation for me because I know I can make up 4 tenths, you know, just training harder. So in practice, you know, I talk to Coach. We always have our one-on-one talks, and I just let him know what's working for me, what's probably not working. Like, if this workout, I don't feel like it's really working for me, we could try to do this one. Could this one help me get better? So I just talk to him one-on-one, and then I was talking to my teammates and letting them know, hey, we got to challenge each other, you know, because we only could be as good as we push each other. You know, we can't just come to the meet and just think we're going to run the best if we're not challenging in practice. So every day at practice, I try to push, you know, either my teammates and myself as well, you know, talking to Coach and just, you know, telling him everything that's going to work for me to get me stronger. And just honestly knowing the goal I set. Like, I set some crazy goals for myself, and I feel like I could achieve if I just stay focused.
Talking about teammates, you and Jared Williams, I know Taylor Cure from WDM did a story on y'all, because you're both kind of a similar situation coming from D2. To hear, but you know, you were saying that you haven't competed in 2 years.
Yeah.
Just could you talk about that? I really haven't heard that much. What's that transition been like, you know, being away from the sport and school and then just coming back?
Yeah, so last time I competed, I think around 2020, 2021. So it's been a long time, and I had torn my quad, my left quad at D2. And after I tore my quad, everything kind of went downhill. COVID hit, and, you know, I was just going through a lot, kind of going through a slight depression and having some family issues. So a lot was going on in my life at that time. And honestly, I lost a love for track. And so I just, you know, I give up on myself. I'm not normally a quitter, so when I did that, it kind of hurt me. But it was just something I felt like was the best for me in that moment. So I just decided to leave my school, and I just went home and just tried to get my mind right. But I can honestly say in that one to two years of just being away from everything helped me focus and helped me really realize that, you know, this is my calling, this is my passion, and just helped me just stay focused. Like, okay, you know, you're not a quitter. Like, this is something you really want to do. I just had a rough moment, but that don't mean I could just, you know, just make this decision that could affect my life. So I just decided to, you know, just come back and stay focused and just know that if I get this another shot, I'm going to give it everything I got, you know, until I don't got no more left in me.
Is that something I've heard some student athletes talk about, that just kind of the pressure associated with that? Is that something that kind of woke you up, or something that you kind of tell other guys now?
Yeah, for sure. Like, because obviously it's like my second stunt at it. So, you know, I already, when I was at another school, so I know a little bit more. So when I always try to talk to the, you know, the young guys on this team, the freshmen and the sophomores, they ask me questions and tips, and I always try to give them everything that I know. Because one thing about it, like, even at my old school, you know, when the pressure was on me, I always felt like I shined the brightest. Like, whenever it was a championship meet, I feel like I'm always trying to do my best. Like, I was never, like, the type of person where when it was pressure, I feel like I fold or, you know, I kind of go under the shadows. So I always knew how to, like, handle pressure because, you know, I grew up in a tough environment and I grew up, you know, with a tough mom and, you know, just knowing how to handle pressure and handle people being strict on me. So, you know, most people can't handle that. You know, some people, when they have pressure, it kind of fold. They kind of, you know, just walk away and it kind of, like, makes them get tense. So I just try to, like, give advice to the young dudes and just let them know that, you know, just stay focused. Like, you know, that pressure is a good thing sometimes. It's just helping you get, you know, get the best out of you. So just keep pushing.
As far as conditioning, you know, wise, what was that ramp up like to, you know, be performing after, you know, being away from the sport?
Yeah, so that was honestly the hardest thing. So being away, because when I was going from track, I obviously wasn't training. Cause like I said, I basically gave up on track. So I was going for 2 years, but it wasn't like I was training in those 2 years to just come back and be ready. I was going for 2 years and I was just sitting on the couch, just, you know, just so coming back. You know, when I first talked to coach and I put my name in transfer portal, you know, he asked me a lot of questions. He was kind of worried. He asked me, you know, am I in shape? What type of shape am I? You know, can I still do the stuff that I did when I used to run? And I told him, I said, you know, you just got to bet on me. Just trust me. I'm a hard worker. I'm not too much of a talker, so I'm not going to tell you too much that you want to hear. I'm just going to let you know, just bet on me. And coming back and just doing the fall training, that was probably one of the hardest things. It was harder than my first time, my freshman year, when I first was at my old school. Like, fall training was the worst. I mean, every rep, I felt like I was losing. I just could never be at the top. My endurance was just terrible. And I was just like, dang, this is crazy. Like, I felt like I was an old man. Like, I just, like, lost it all. Like, I thought I wasn't good no more. But I just, like, say, I just got to stay focused. Like, you know, this is just fall training. This is just conditioning. Just keep working hard, and then at some point it's going to pay off. So it was hard. This was honestly the hardest fall training I ever had, but it paid off because I just stayed focused and just, you know, just pushed myself, honestly.
What was that moment where you're like, I'm going to go back to track from what was that exact moment?
So that moment was around last year, honestly around this time, like last year, April. So I was talking to my mom and I was just sitting there and it was just like a talk she had with me. It was like a deep talk. It was just like, you know, what are you going to do with your life? I know a lot of people hear that a lot. You know, what you want to do with your life? Like, what are you doing? You know, like you was doing good at track. Why did you give up on it? Just like her talking to me about it. And I always kind of had it in the back of my head. It's not like I ever gave it up. It was more like in that moment, I just couldn't take it serious no more. Mm-hmm. So it was always in the back of my head, but just talking to my mom and honestly my little brothers, because they run track. And I'm just going to their track meets, and they talking to me, and I'm just talking to them about my old stories. Like, I'm 50 years old. Like, I'm not still 21. I can still go back and do it. It just, like, kind of motivated me, like, you know, like, I could still do this. Like, I don't know what am I doing right now. I'm watching all the track championships. I'm still keeping up with the track stuff. I'm just not on the track. So at that point, I just realized, like, you know, this is still – I still got the love for it. Like, just go pursue it. You know, I only get one life. I only get one body. So it's like, why not just do it? Why not capitalize on it? You know, while I still got a chance. I still got eligibility. So, you know, just go for it. So I just went for it.
And when you were coming back, you know, what were you looking for that kind of led you to Southern Miss?
So honestly, when I first put my name in the transfer portal, Southern Miss, I didn't know anything about Mississippi. I didn't know nothing about Southern Miss. I knew about Southern Miss for Brett Favre and stuff like that. I didn't know really nothing about Southern Miss. Like, I never heard about this school for real. So put my name in the transfer portal, we had a coach here, the distance coach, Coach Gibson. He went to my D2 school. I don't know if y'all know that, but yeah, he was coaching at my D2 school, so I already knew him. I already had a connection with him. He had my number and everything. So as soon as I put my name in the transfer portal, he was actually one of the first ones to email me and contact me. You know, they said, like, the first impression is always, like, sometimes the best impression. So, like, I had a lot of schools. I had, like, over 30 schools give me a full ride, but he was one of the first ones. And it's, like, the connection that I had with him and the talk that we had and, like, the trust I had him because I know him personally. You know, he said, just give it a visit and just see how you'll like it. You know, I gave it a visit and I was like, okay, I feel like I could fit in here and I could, you know, do something great here. And I think I like the story that, you know, they never had a men national champion and, you know, you could come make history and think about, you know, how many doors I could open for other people that think they got to go to a big school all the time. So I would, you know, that was basically like my motivation, like come here and make history or go to another school and just be another number or statistic. So, you know, I just wanted to make history. So that's why I'm here.
Now you said that you have some goals, but you know how do you like your chances right now? How are the guys kind of approaching?
Oh, it's looking good. I like my chances. It's looking real good. I got the mindset. I got the, you know, I'm in the right head space. I see everything. I mean, I'm watching the results every week. I see exactly where everybody at. I know where I'm at. And honestly, like, I know, like, I have not ran my best yet. Like, it may look like I ran my best yet, but that was just a season opener. So the time y'all see, you're gonna see way faster than just a month. So just be ready to see something crazy in about a month. So when I'm really ready and in my best shape, so I'm ready. I think it's time.
Thanks, man. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, just thank y'all for having me, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just stay focused.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it was great to hear your story, man. Best of luck to you. Sunbelt, too. I know you say you got the bigger fish to fry, but yeah. Sunbelt Conference Championships coming up first, then NCAA, so we'll definitely be keeping an eye on you and the rest of the guys and girls. So
yeah.
Best of luck to y'all.
All right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome back to the 4th Street Sports Show. It is already this time of the day, you know, where we're closing up and it's ending a little early today, but yeah, we will fool around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
As we always do.
Me and Nathan know what's coming here in about 5 minutes.
This is their time. This is their time to shine. But anyways, we got some important matters to deal with first, because this is the flower section brought to you by University Florists and Gifts. If you're watching our live stream, you can see the beautiful flowers over from University Florist, Highway 49. Got two roses here for a special someone this week. And like I said, we had some great performances this week, as always. Fan show, baseball, a lot of love, and we had an honorable mention. I feel like we should name two.
Yes.
But let's go ahead. If you voted, you probably know the results. But if you didn't, let's.
I did not vote.
Yeah, Dima didn't even know who won. Who won? Well, I know who won, so let's get with it. Your 4th Street Player of the Week goes to Tanner Hall. Congrats. You know, he had not won this yet, which was wild.
And that's crazy.
I think literally Baseball America, one of those outlets, put him as like the 10th best pitcher in the country throughout the season so far.
Well, it's like every time he pitches good, you know, it's like a Friday game. But the Saturday and Sunday game, you know, Slade's hitting a 3-run bomb in the 8th inning to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, ah.
Yeah, and I mean, Tanner Hall the last couple of weeks has just been handled his business. Yeah. It's been low scoring games where they, you know, they haven't had to need those performances from the other guys. Because this week, 7.2 innings pitch, 4
hits.
When
was the last time they even lost a Friday game?
Oh, I would have to go back. He's 6-2 on the season, so.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I would have to go back to that. But 1 run allowed and then 7 strikeouts. Over 100 pitch count, too. So, great week from Tanner Hall. Also wanted to shout out to Danny Lynch. He had 6 hits, 5 RBIs in the series versus ODU. Carlin Beal, 2nd in the 3,000-meter at Lloyd Wills Invitational, PR and a meet record. And Keyshawn Bird had 1st and triple jump at Baton Rouge as well. And I think Omar, I don't have it pulled up, but I think he finished 3rd at his event. So like he was saying, though, you know, it's literally milliseconds is the difference, so he feels like he can get up there. And really, I was looking at the leaderboards and it's just like he said, 0.4 of a second separating.
I would be minutes.
Yeah, 400 meter, that would probably take me a minute.
It's like, hey, he finished in 38 seconds. What did Dima do? Oh, he's at 7 minutes. He walked it.
7.
It was a nice walk.
12-minute run.
And honorable mention.
It's a pretty day up there.
I'll let Dima speak on this because he was watching all the games. Fans said Nick Monastir should have been on the list, which, you know, I like to keep it to 2 guys for baseball. But Nick Monastir, you know, we've had softball's had Jaina Lee kind of be there, do it all. And it looked like Nick Monastir kind of did it all. He stepped on the mound, like you're saying, they were going in deep in the bullpen.
Saturday.
Yeah, and then he had 2 hits, 3 RBIs in the final game of the series.
Yeah, it ended up being the difference, right? They won 10-8 in that second game to win the series. So those 3 RBIs definitely made it, was the difference. But, you know, I don't know if he could leave off, like, would you leave off Tanner Hall and Danny Lynch? Lynch, I mean, 5 RBIs. I mean, definitely a great moment, but player of the week, I would say you got to go with either Hall or Lynch or one of these track and field stars. But definitely a good honorable mention. I think he definitely should be on the honorable mentions because, like, that was his first time even swinging a bat this year, and he put in 3 RBIs to win a series on the road against the best team in the Sun Belt. So
it makes you think they might have to start thinking, you know?
He played 2nd. So what do you think? It's like Creek, Gabe, and Nick now, I guess.
They have been going deep into, you know, the lineup this year. Just I think they have to, but it's good to see that, you know, a guy like that can step up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's still a freshman, so.
Yep.
There we go. Special Flowers also talking about baseball. Head coach Scott Barry is probably the biggest news of the week.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned it.
Yeah, haven't even mentioned it, but he reached 500 career wins this week.
Booyah.
So congratulations to him. You know, already the winningest coach in program history.
Yeah.
So you have anything to add to that, dude?
I was just going to tell you his quote when he won the game. Was that the midweek game?
Yes.
Oh, well, I got to go back to that.
But I'll move on to say we talked about Austin Crowley going through the NBA draft process. Just talking about his accomplishments again. Just want to give him his flowers. In one season as a Golden Eagle, he was named the Lou Henson All-American, first-team All-Sun Belt, and Sun Belt Newcomer of the Year.
Yeah, so Scott Barry said on 500 wins, he said, special day. And he said, no one who does anything in their lifetime does it all by themselves.
Yeah.
So he's a very humble guy, never takes credit for himself, and always pushes it back to the players, coaches, or Corky.
That's right, it was Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't know the difference because we were stuck in class, so it felt like an away game for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were at that game Tuesday, right? Yeah, yeah, wow. It's going fast, y'all. But that's pretty much all of our flowers this week. They'll have we'll have a lot of coverage next week again, but I mean I gotta talk about NBA because
yeah we gotta
NBA
talk about how bad the Pelicans are.
My dude wants to insult my favorite team while he's wearing a Houston Rockets or Shanghai 22-60 Rockets. So yeah, if you don't know, I want us to do an NBA bracket. Our guy Carter wants us to do an NBA playoff bracket. We might share it with the fans. Only a couple fans did the March Madness bracket, I think. But yeah, maybe some of y'all would like to do the NBA playoff bracket. So we'll go around the room. Who do y'all have it winning it all? Put it on the spot. I can say mine first. I can say mine first.
You go first.
I gotta say Milwaukee. I mean, Drew, as a Pelicans fan, Drew is that guy. He fits in perfectly. Brooke Lopez redefined who he is, and Giannis is the MVP. Debate over.
First of all, Joel Embiid's the MVP.
We'll see when you get to the playoffs.
But that doesn't account. I got Bucks going to the championship after winning a slight series in Game 7 against the Celtics, and then
Celtics, I like it.
I got the Nuggets edging the
Suns.
Suns. I'm gonna say Suns.
I feel the Suns, man.
I do think the Clippers could beat the Suns, though.
I don't think so.
I think the Clippers can give them a good run for their money. Only because Kawhi versus Kevin Durant. I want to see that. I want to see that matchup.
Russell Westbrook.
That's a different story. Hey, as a Lakers fan, I'm glad that Russ is playing okay basketball.
Yeah.
As a Lakers fan, though, we're gonna win it all. So I don't even know what I'm talking about. LeBron MVP, Finals MVP again.
Play-in tournament MVP.
You know, he's gonna steal a regular season MVP as well. So go Lake Show, Lake Show all day.
Dima, you got the Rockets winning them?
Yeah.
For the Wemby sweepstakes, at least.
Yeah, Wemby.
Hey, yeah. I got this shirt back when I was. This is gonna go to my pick. I got 76ers. This shirt.
Oh, yeah.
I got this shirt back when I was a huge James Harden fan. And they should have beaten the Golden State Warriors in 2018.
They should have.
And they would have won the title, probably.
Except they missed 27.
Except they missed 33-point shots in the last
second
half.
The worst performance I've ever
seen. And James Harden did not get a title. He also did not get a title when he got injured with the Brooklyn Nets in the series with the Bucks, where if they would have won that series, they would have won the title.
They lost because of Kevin Durant's foot.
A toenail.
They really did.
Yep. So twice James Harden has been snubbed. This is the year James Harden gets his title. I'm going Sixers.
I respect it. You know, they play well.
I think the Sixers are the sneaky. Yeah. I think the Sixers are the sneakiest team.
I think Cavaliers are a dark horse. Yeah, I might call me crazy, but if I were to be betting money,
I think it's
going to
be Sixers Suns in the finals.
If I was trying to make money,
listen. You do not bet against Kevin Durant in the playoffs. He is another person.
Can't say that's fair, but
he is another player in the playoffs.
See, we could make our own podcast about this, but yeah, we do want to get you involved in our playoff bracket. I think we need to do a playoff bracket.
Yeah, and I would also say there's one thing I do know about this playoffs, that the Pelicans are going to lose. So
I agree.
I know the Lakers are going to win.
I agree. But I'm pretty sure y'all have interesting takes. And what's good is that it's open this year. I feel like it is open this
very
year.
Very open.
Yeah,
very
normally it's like, two, definitely three teams. West, yeah. Like, I mean, we haven't talked about the Warriors. I mean,
the Warriors could
10
easily.
10 and 30 on the road. Don't talk about the Warriors.
They hot, though. They're steaming.
But I'm just telling you, Curry in the playoffs, Kevin Durant in the playoffs, it's just
I'm
different players.
I'm not counting
players.
Them out, but...
LeBron in the playoffs.
There's certain players. About
there's certain players.
There's other teams.
LeBron brought a 5-seed Cavs, or 4-seed, was it 5 or 4?
Wait, I mean, if LeBron gets this Lakers team to the championship, is that his biggest accomplishment?
I'd say it's the Cavs.
It has to be the Cavs.
I mean, that was
that last Cavs year, that team was terrible.
But anyways, y'all, enough NBA talk.
Yeah, because you don't want to talk about how bad the Pelicans were.
No, yeah, we will avoid that right now.
Also, so we know the Cavaliers, we know the Pelicans and the Cowboys are terrible.
Oh God, poor Austin can't even defend himself.
I'm not gonna go there. But anyways, this has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Stay tuned. Hopefully, we can do an extra podcast.
Yes, we've been
week.
Missing that.
Yeah, we yeah. Like I said, we're trying to make it through. Nathan and I are dying on the inside right now.
Yes, slowly.
As seniors, and I'm pretty sure some other people feel that in the room right now. But y'all finish out strong, stay positive, as always, and we'll catch you next week on 4th Street Sports Show. Demon doesn't like my motivational quotes.
Well, I didn't know this was a motivational podcast.
It is. If you're listening right now in your car, driving on Hardy Street, you need something motivational. This has been 4th Street Sports Show.
Come back next Monday at 5 on Southern Miss Radio. 4th Street Sports, baby.